Blog Talk Radio.
You were born with a grace. That grace is your gift. It's a divine enablement. If you work your grace, the grace will work for you. Company, speech to left. Yes, they will. Don't you doubt.
God has given us this gift, and we are to receive it. That's what you do with gifts. Somebody give you a gift, you receive it. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're truly happy to have each and every one of you guys. We're going to have a word of prayer. And then we'll get into the review. First of all, we want to give a report out. I may mention a little later as well. But we thank God for Evangelist Renee. She is out of the hospital. Bless God. That nurse has been over there sharing with her the things she needs to do, and she's in good spirit. So I want to go on and throw that praise report out. Evangelist William, she won't be able to read today. The enemy have attacked her body, and we're going to be lifting her up as well. And also, we thank God for Pastor, who's back. She'll be on the broadcast a little later. She's closing up a couple things, and she's going to be on the broadcast a little later. But however, and we just praying for speedy recovery. But this is about our review, and we'll get into that in a moment, because so many people are blind to God's grace. And that's what we're going to talk about. A whole new segment about God's grace is coming down the pipe, coming down the tube, revelation knowledge that God has shared. So I'm going to take my time, say what I want to say. If anybody have any questions, press one. Not, you know, we'll just share what God has put in our spirit to share. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. Your word says in everything give thanks, for this is the will, your will, matter of fact, concerning us in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for your word, because it's in your word, Father God, that we know who we are and whose we are and what we are. It is your word, Father God, that declare that we are free. No matter what the mind say, it is in your word that tells us the battle is yours, and that we've already won the battle, according to 1 Samuel 17:45. We just have to walk in it. I declare, Father God, that your anointing will continue to guide and teach us. I declare, Heavenly Father, that it's your divine wisdom, it's your divine enablement that allow us to go to the next level. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for your mercy and your grace, according to Lamentation 3:22-23. I expect your mercy. I expect favor, according to Psalms 5:12. So I thank you, Father God, for the expectation of an abundant life. You came so we could have this abundant life. And I thank you. I praise you for it. I give you the honor and you the glory for it. Thank you, Father God, for healing. I thank you, Father God, for healing us mentally, physically, and spiritually. We give you honor and we give you glory. We apply the blood of Christ right now, Father God, to every tissue, every organ that's in our bodies. We pray for restoration, that you restore us and more, especially me, of any kind of infection, any kind of doctor's report. And believe me, they have a lot of them. But I'm believing, Father God, for your healing. Pray, Father God, that this same healing go out through this whole broadcast. Pray for Sister William, Father God, that you allow that your healing, your miracles. And I don't care what the devil say, I know you still is a miracle-working God. You still performing miracles. That's why we call it miracles. So I thank you, Father God, for your miracle-working power. Let us see it. Let us experience it. I speak right now, Father God, your word over everything that's causing trouble in anybody's life. I put your word on it right now. I decree it and declare it right now. Then I thank you, Father God, because you have decreed and declared that all grace abound toward us in every favor, earthly blessing, so that we have all sufficiency for all things and abound to every good work, according to 2 Corinthians 9. So we're blessed going in the city, and we're blessed going in the field. We're blessed coming in, we're blessed going out. We're blessed, Father God, when we lay down and rest. I thank you for good rest tonight. I thank you, Father God, for those ears that needs to be open, that you open their ears and like they hear like they never heard before. Not me, but hear your word. And I pray, Father God, that your word seep deep within our souls. I pray we bind up everything that have self-imposed curses on our lives. Psalms 34:13 says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we're doing that. We no longer speak curses, but we speak blessings. We speak blessings on ourselves, and we speak blessings on others. And with that being said, Father God, again, thank you for your healing power, because I know that's who you are. That's just who you are. You are a healer, and you're more of a healer today than you were yesterday. You know why? Because you're the same God, yesterday, today, and forever. If you heal then, you'll heal now, and you'll heal tomorrow. So we just ask to give us a mind to receive it. These and all blessings we ask in Christ's name. And for his sake, we pray. And everybody agreed with this prayer. They said amen and amen. Well, like I said, brothers and sisters, I'm going to start out by saying this is an interesting week. The lesson that we began this week by talking about people that are blind to the grace of God, blind to his true grace. See, let me get a couple of scriptures first. In our foundation of scripture, we found in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, most gladly. Therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in necessity, and in persecution, and in distress for Christ's sake. For when I was weak, then am I strong. Hallelujah. So Paul had to deal with some things in his ministry. And one of them was that God was giving him so much revelation and he saw some things. The Bible says, and he was caught up. He called into paradise. And he heard unspeakable words, which is not even lawful for a man to utter. God had given him so much revelation. He said, I knew a man in Christ. He's really speaking of himself. But so that the people would not put the light on him, he more or less was explaining what he had went through. And that God had given him let's put it this way. God had given him revelation. But before he did that, God exalted him and gave him all this revelation knowledge about the church. So now he had to be confronted with this, because the enemy was trying to exalt him above measure. through the abundance of the revelation that was given unto me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buff me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Let me put a pin right there for a moment. We talked this week because we want to dispel some myths out there. I'm going to dispel some of this stuff. Paul was not handicapped. He did not have leukemia, or he did not have any eye disease. All of these different myths that's out there that's been told, and they've tried to back it up with scripture because he had to go down there on Straight Street and have Ananias to lay hands on him so he could see. Somebody said he had glaucoma. Not true. Somebody said, you know, he had a limp. They tried to say this thorn in the flesh was a lot of things, but it was none of those things, brothers and sisters. Flat out tells us what it was. He said, first of all, God permitted this. And what God permitted was Satan himself to buff him so he could see himself above everybody else. Satan kept messing with his mind. This was a thorn that was in his flesh. It was Satan. But anything, it was in his mind. And that's important, brothers and sisters, because some of y'all right now may be dealing with this same thing. Where Satan will tell people, don't commit suicide. Why should you live? What the heck? Don't nobody love you. Don't nobody care about you. Go ahead. See, that's what Satan does. He buffets us. So the Bible says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. See, that was spiritual. He would get revelation in his mind. God was revealing, uncovering things about the church and what we're to be and how we're to be. And I could just give you a whole spiel of the revelation that Paul got. You don't have to go no further than to read 1st, 2nd Corinthians, 3rd, 1st, 2nd, Philemon, Ephesians, the list go on and on. To know how much he wrote about the church, there's no other New Testament writer wrote more about the revelation of the church and what it was and who it was. So when we look at the Bible, the answers to the church, God pretty much gave it to Paul. And he gave it through revelation knowledge. Listen, God was pointing stuff out. But he said that he received revelation. He said, but through that, that was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. And then he goes on and name it. He said, the messenger of Satan to buff me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Then he tells the story, I sought the Lord that morning. I sought him at noontime. And I sought him that evening. Have you ever prayed? And it's like God ain't really hearing you. You know, hey, Lord, this thing stays on my mind. It bothered me. It's bugging me. Lord, I know your word says this, and I know you're a healer. I know you're a deliverer. It just seems like I can't be delivered from this. Have you ever, anything ever bothered you so until you just keep on going to God about it? Paul said, Lord, I went to you three times. And that's when Jesus told him. And like I said, you know, mine's in red writing. That ninth verse. And he said unto me, my grace, not any kind of grace, but his grace. See, God is all grace. God grace is different than man grace. God grace is different than how man defines what grace is. So Jesus said, my grace. Well, he has all grace. You know why? Because of St. John 1, full of grace and truth. See, his grace can make a wrong right. His grace is sufficient, meaning it's adequate. Everything you need it, and we talked about that one day, how sufficient his grace is. We can't see it, but Paul was saying, when I'm weak, that's when I'm really strong. That's why I really need your grace, Lord. It's when I'm weak. Because when I'm weak, now I know I'm going to see you. You're going to show up and you're going to show out. Because the grace will meet the need, brothers and sisters. Whatever you're dealing with. That's why I love what we talked about Friday a little bit. I know everybody didn't get that message. But Friday, that was an important lesson. God expects for us to live in that grace. God's given us that grace to dress up in. I mean, grace goes beyond just getting saved. No, honey. We've been blind to the truth. God wants us to operate in that grace, to live like he lived. How I know that? Well, I went to the Bible. And I want y'all to hear this. It's in Ephesians 5:1. He said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Well, wait a minute. This word follow means to mimic, means to imitate. Yeah, some of y'all may remember when, and I always like to use this analogy, at one time, Michael Jackson had one glove. Man, that was the thing. Boy, if you didn't have that one glove, you wasn't representing. So people had one glove on, meaning that they was mimicking Michael. Some mimics are good, some bad. A lot of people going around here with their pants halfway down their butt. They mimicking somebody. They need to pull them up. But that's another subject for a different day altogether. And that's a world thing anyway. But he said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So if you have children, please listen. And if you don't, listen anyway. But if you have children, that child is going to have some of your characteristics. Maybe not all of them, may not walk like you, may not talk like you, may not have face features like you. But if you'll really take a good look, take a real good look at your child, you can see some of your in that child, or you can see some of the daddy in that child. I mean, you ain't got to pray with me right now, but I want you to open up to what I'm trying to tell you, that God is a God of all grace, man. So some of that ought to be in you. And it is in you. Because guess what? That's what you got saved by. That's what we got saved by, was his grace. And God looks for grace in us. I'm going to get back to Brother Paul in a moment. But Brother Paul started living in grace. So when he would write, let me give you all an example. When he would write, Paul would say things like, I don't care what who you look. He would say things like he wrote to Timothy. He said to Timothy, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Now, this is what he said. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, because that's what he was living in. He was living in that grace. He said, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. I mean, I can give you all kinds of scripture, brothers and sisters. That's the way the man talked when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, the church at Ephesians. I always like to say Ephesus, but look how the man talked. Look how he was operating. This is how he would address things. He said, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember he said, we talked about that one day. It might have been Tuesday. For by grace are ye saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast. So Paul had found out this revelation about God's grace. And that's what we need to do. We need to start living in that. God gave us that grace to live in. Dress up in that. We talked about that one day. Dress up in God's grace. It look good on you. I think Friday we talked about being built. That's what we built for. Remember we was created for this work? Remember that's how he quickened us, made us alive, even when we were dead in sin? Have he quickened us together with Christ? By his grace are ye saved? See, people, they get the saved part, but they don't understand the grace part. Let me tell you what Ephesians 2 and 7 says. That in the age to come, he may show the exceeding and riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ. Well, God's sharing his grace, man. He expects for us to use it. Act like him. Imitate him. Mimic him, and everything you've learned about grace, just start using it. Yeah. Grace is that unmerited favor. Grace, what it does, it does things for other people that they can't do for themselves. That's what grace is. And it's about time that the body of Christ realized God have birthed us through grace. He have brought us to this place of grace to where we can live in it. Remember he said, abound in grace, live in it. He expect that. Now, I know the enemy don't want you to know this stuff, but God, let me tell you this. Everybody that's truly moved by God, they were, grace was found in them. And I'm going to show you this in the scripture too. Let's go to Genesis first. In Genesis, Genesis 6 and 8, I'm going to ask Pastor, she'll read it out of the Messenger Bible, if she'd be so kind. In Genesis 6 and 8, it says, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So grace was in him.
Amen.
Yeah. See, we're looking for God's grace. God looking for grace to be in us.
Mm-hmm.
Read Genesis 6 and 8, Pastor. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Genesis 6 and 8. But Noah was different. God liked what he saw in Noah. Amen.
God expect for us to be full with grace. God found grace. He found favor. So when you're looking up these words, look up words like grace, favor. God found favor in Mary. Well, what that meant? He meant he found grace there.
Thank you.
Yeah. And God looked for grace in us, brothers and sisters, so he can give us more grace. So we can do the things that is required of us.
Amen.
Remember, Esau said, let me now leave the some of these folks that are with me. And the Lord said, what needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of the Lord. See, a lot of times we're looking for God's grace, but God's looking for grace in us. Because the Bible says in Genesis 39:4, and Joseph found grace in his sight. Joseph found grace. And so when he, in the sight of God, so when God finds grace, then he getting ready to use you. And I'm telling somebody right now, God done found grace in you. He want to use you.
Praise.
Just like he found favor with Mary. And the angels came and told Mary. So God done found favor. God done found grace in you.
Yeah.
And because of that, God used Mary. God looking for people like him. He's seeking spirits that will live in his grace. So every time you look around, Paul was talking about the grace of God. So that's when God told him, said, now, Paul, my grace is sufficient. It's adequate. Listen, brothers and sisters, when you really think about this, whatever situation, grace will be there. It's sufficient, means enough to meet the need of any situation. That's what sufficient is. That's what it really is. It's adequate. Determined as something that is so good. I just like to think about the different things when I'm thinking about grace, how the expectation, this grace is so good, grace is so nice, grace is so wonderful, because all the stuff that grace does, grace gives you that second chance. See, grace is it's common, too, when you think about it. It's satisfaction. Whatever need to be met, grace can do it, man. It's sufficient.
Yeah,
it's adequate.
Amen.
Yeah. You need to be saved, there's grace for it. Because, you know, God is the God of all grace. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
He's the God of all grace. Not some grace, but he is the God of all grace. So he distributes grace because he is the God of all grace. And because he is the God of all grace, then he can give grace because he is the God of all grace. And I just love that because that tells me God is able to give us this grace. He's able to show us this.
Hallelujah.
But you have to obtain grace and favor in his sight.
Hallelujah.
That's what happened to Mary. Remember over there in Isaiah? God found favor in Mary. She obtained his grace. He had grace in her. And that's where God wants the body of Christ to be right now, brothers and sisters. I just go ahead on and tell you what's really going on. The Bible says that Paul preached with grace. In Ephesians 3:8, I think it's there. We'll check it out. Well, Ephesians, well, we'll go there too. But in Ephesians 3 and 8, unto me who am least or less than the least of all saints, unto me who am least than or less than all the saints, is this grace given. He was given this grace that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Whew, that's just, I mean, here this man, well, you can read that, Pastor.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible. And so here I am, preaching and writing about the things that are way over my head, the inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. Amen.
Yeah. He said, I'm less than the least of all the saints. That's where he put himself. Then he realized God thought enough of me is to give me this grace. That I should even be able to preach to the Gentile this grace that's indescribable. It's so rich. It's so much of it. And then Ephesians 6:24 and Ephesians 6:24, grace be unto all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, amen. That's where he was living at. He was living in the grace of God. So he understood grace. He wished everybody's grace. He wished everybody live in that grace. That's Ephesians 6:4.
God the Father, from the Master, Jesus Christ, pure grace and nothing but grace, be with all who love our Master, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Now, you want to see a mind blower? Read Philippians 1:7. See, when you understand that we're supposed to be living in this grace, operating in this grace, because we were saved by this same grace, then you understand that we're supposed to be partakers of it. So take your part, and not just to get you saved. That's just one little bit of it, brothers and sisters. But once you get saved, then you have to develop in this grace. That's why Paul said, may the grace of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, be with all of you. He wanted that grace to be with them. He wanted that grace to be in them. But in Philippians 1:7, even as it meant for me to think of you all, because I have in my heart, in as much as both in my bones and in my deficiency and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Philippians 1 and verse 7 from the Message Bible. It's not at all for me to think this way about you. My prayers and hopes have deep roots. In reality, you have, after all, stuck with me all the way from the time I was thrown in jail. Amen. Put on trial and came out of it in one piece. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, one day we talked about Thank you so much. And one day, you know, we talked about I think it was Revelation. That at the end, brothers and sisters, this is where we're going to be living at, is in God's grace. And that's where we are right now. We've been built for this.
Thank God
allowed this to happen so we can continue to move in that area. In Ephesians, I want to say in Ephesians 2 and 5, I don't know why I'm thinking that, but in Ephesians 2 and 5, let me go find that, because that hit my spirit, so I need to go find it. In Ephesians 2 and 5, y'all bear with me here for a moment. As Pastor Shear found it in the Messenger Bible, if this is what I'm looking for, I know this was given to me in my spirit. Oh, there you go. That's why that was there. Ephesians 2 and 5 says, even when we were dead in sin, have he quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved.
Praise God. From the Message Bible. He took our sin deadline and made us alive in Christ. He did it all. He did all this on his own with no from us. Amen.
Now it's a two-fold part of this. It's two parts of this that you got to understand or you'll miss this. Remember, at one point in time, we walked to the course of this world.
Yeah.
And we was walking around. We were doing this, that, and the third, doing what we wanted to do, what we big enough to do, bad enough to do. And we were doing all this stuff. We did not acknowledge God. But once we began to acknowledge God, and then we walked away from that spirit of disobedience. Remember, the Bible talked about where in time past we walked according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air. Whatever Satan was telling us to do, we would do it. Had nothing to do with it. We wouldn't consider the word of God. We just did it. And we thought it was us that was doing it. We thought that was us. And it wasn't. It was the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He says, but finally, the grace of God moved in. And when the grace of God moved in, even when we wasn't paying God no attention, we were dead to sin, God right then quickened us with Christ. How he do that,
you ask?
By his grace. So how did he raise you up? By his grace.
Amen.
So we're living in the age of his grace. That God can show more of his grace. Let me tell you what that seventh verse says over in Ephesians 2 and 7. And then it's going to explain how God was able to do this in that 10th verse. But in that seventh verse, he says this, Ephesians 2 and 7, for those that are following along with us, that in the age to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
Amen, amen. In the Message Bible, now God has us where he wants us with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Okay, now ask yourself the question. If you've been saved by this grace, why do he need to keep on showering this grace on you? If grace was only designed just to save you and you've gotten saved, then why do he need to continue to shower this Well, ask yourself that question. Because he says, you know, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself, that it is the gift of God. God gave us this gift. So person yeah. wouldn't be boasting. But listen, brothers and sisters, the Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. What is the good works, man? The good works is his grace. The same thing he did, the same thing he's using, is grace. That's why he gave us that.
Thank you.
That way he gave us grace to wear it, to operate in it. That's what you got saved by. Woo, preacher.
You.
That's what you got saved by. Nothing of yourself. Now he expects for us to operate in that. Remember he said that in the age to come that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, how much he really got. He got so much grace to give you to operate in it, because you're already saved now. So you don't need it to get saved no more. Don't want to leave nobody out of this conversation. I want you to know, God saved you by grace. Now he expects for you to start operating in this grace. He expects for us to be imitators, mimic, if you will. Mimic him. Be followers.
Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Followers of him, man. Yeah, you ain't got all this grace for you just sit up and enjoy. No, wrong. Yeah, you to take that grace and aid other people. You to take that grace and help other people through his grace. See, because that's what we're living in. We're living at a time of his grace, man. And you remember Revelation 22:1, we talked about that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Why you think he wants the grace to be with us? Why? Why you think he wanted the grace to be unto the churches in Asia Minor? Why? Why you think Paul said, may grace and peace of our Lord be with you? Why you think he wants that grace to be with you? So you can operate in it.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
See, well, you know, because they want to debate that over there in the book of Romans, but that's another subject for another day. So, what, should we continue on sinning that grace may abound? No, God forbid. That ain't what God gave you grace for. So you can keep on sinning, you can keep on doing this, so more grace and more grace.
Right.
No, that ain't what grace for. God gave you that grace and he showed it to you so you can go show other people the love of God. Remember in Ephesians 5, we'll go there. Because we talked about that Friday. In 2 Corinthians 5:21. My bad. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Yeah, we got to start seeing grace through these eyes, brothers and sisters. Now, watch this. 20. Well, it doesn't go 21, too. Well, as a matter of fact, you can go all the way back up and read this whole thing. That's why God made you a new creation, so you can be part of something new. It's because all the old stuff is past. We ain't operating like that now. Now that we are ministers, of reconciliation, we are to minister that. Well, how you going to do that, preacher? The 20th verse says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. See, that's the ministry we have, to get people to be reconciled to God. Well, God did that with grace, and that's what we're supposed to be using, the grace of God, to minister that through grace. Don't be trying to minister to how much you know and where you've been. No, do it through the grace of God. Operate in that grace. But I'm going to read that. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ did be ye reconciled to God. 21st verse says, for he have made us to be sin. He have made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him.
Amen, amen. Praise God. In the Message Bible, backing up to the 19th verse. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sin. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you ask? In Christ, God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so we could be put right with God. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, I'm going to take it right there, and hopefully this coming week, we want you to put on that grace and use it. It looks good on you. Grace look good on you.
Yeah.
The glory of God look good on you.
His
splendor look good on you. And God wants us to see how good it really looks. How when we dress up in his grace, when people see us, they'll know it's the grace of God.
Right.
Yeah, because you're going to be using it. Well, we had earlier about, I don't know if who I was on earlier, I had made mention of how Evangelist Renee just really blessed me. She gave me a call, let me know she was out of the hospital and the things God was doing for her and the nurses and all this good stuff. Well, I tell you, she brought joy to my heart. Y'all just don't know. She brought joy to my heart. Because I know he'll do it. I mean, y'all know he'll do it. He'll do it.
Amen.
He just wants us to believe, man. We just got to start believing more.
Yeah, yeah.
Believe beyond the end.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed up to 3 o'clock this morning watching the football game that went into double overtime. And God said, see, they believe. They ain't giving up. Doesn't matter. They only have a minute to go. They ain't giving up. They had to score 11 points. They had to tie the ball game. So they need 2-point conversion and a touchdown to tie it up. And then once it got tied up, it went into overtime. But they believed then. They kept believing, kept believing, kept believing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, when it seems like it's all over, still believe. But I said all that because I thought about Evangeline Renee. And no matter what the doctors, anybody say, she still believes. She told me that. So I don't know if Evangeline Renee want to have something to say this morning or not. But, you know, you're more than welcome. Just press 1, and I'll know you want to have something to say. Hallelujah. All right, Pastor, you like to have something to say.
Amen, amen, Pastor. I'm thankful for the word, thankful for the grace. Amen. We just say, that grace looks good on us and we're built for grace. Amen. And I just like to share on Friday, because I wasn't on the lesson. But when I went back to listen to it, I said, oh, my goodness, Pastor knows he'd be on it. But, yes, when Evangelist Renee was in the hospital at that time, the nurses, they must have had a fire drill. Most of the time when they have a drill, something going on, they'll close your door to protect you. And so her door was closed. So the nurses and them, I guess they must have forgot that they didn't go back and help her. First of all, she didn't have a breakfast. And when I called, it was like about 9:30, 10 or something. No, it was closer to 10. And I was talking to her, and I said, well, sis, how come you didn't have your breakfast? She said, well, because they got it so far away from me that I can't use my right hand, and I can't even get my tray. And I was like, okay. We just stay calm. Let me stay calm. So she put her button on for the nurse to come in, and I was on the phone when she called, and I can hear the receptionist, nurse secretary, how the sharpness she had. And what did she do that for? Praise God. Thank God for his grace. I told my sister, I said, let me just call and get somebody to come and do what they need to do. And now one mind, I'm gonna tell y'all now, Pastor ain't been saved always. I thank God I am now by his grace. I have called that nurse and asked for my sister, whoever was taking care of her, and then I told her, I said, well, she's been waiting over 20 minutes for someone to come into the room, and they haven't got there yet. The lady was nice, and she began to break it down to me, and she had a whole different tone. You know, she was kind, and she explained everything, why they, you know, they was waiting to give her pain medicine, and, you know, they explained everything to me. And I thought, okay. I said, okay, thank you. So I hung up, and, of course, I wrote the time down that I spoke to her. So we waited a few minutes. They was in that room, and they was just looking after her and taking care of Evangelist Renee like they should have did it. You know, then, but I thank God for the grace. So I'm telling you that to tell you how good God's grace is. It was a day before God touched me. I wouldn't have been that kind. Amen. I would not have thought about saying nice words, you know.
Yeah.
I would have been sharp right with that lady. You know, I would not let her get away with what she, how she spoke to my sister. As a matter of fact, I would have brought it to her attention. But because of God's grace, he allowed me to speak to her in kindness and just get right to the point why I called. Amen. So, yes, God's grace. When God touches you, he gives you that grace, and you can walk in the grace of God. And walking in God's grace keeps you from being sharp with other people, even though they might be sharp with, you know, speaking harsh words to you. So I just thank God for his grace. And I just wanted to share that testimony with you all, that if you're not walking in grace, go ahead and walk in, because you're
all
built
right
for
now.
It.
All right.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Evangelist Renee. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor.
Good noon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
I'm thanking the Lord for his grace and his mercy. I am at home. I thank him for taking care of me. I stand and still on my scripture. By his stripes, I am healed. And I just thank the Lord for blessing me. I thank my sister for being with me and making sure people's doing what they're supposed to do. I just thank the Lord for all his many, many blessings. And God is good. Despite the situation I'm in, God is good. He is a healer. And we know. We saw the healing on my foot. And on my butt. So we know she's a healer. He will heal this wound. And I thank the Lord for his grace and his mercy. He'll do it. No doubt in my mind. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I know he will do it. It might not be in my time, but it's in his time. He will do it. And I just thank him. I thank him. He's an awesome God. Amen.
Yes, he is.
Y'all heard it for yourself. I'm not saying anything.
Hallelujah.
I'm thankful that I'm witnessing God's grace and his power, right? Working right through people I know. As I was saying in the past, it's God's grace that he got to keep us sometimes.
Because
I might have went and jumped in the flesh with that lady.
Amen.
Really jumped in the flesh. The grace of God that her so she could still show grace. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. It's how you live in that grace, how you show that grace. Like your words has to be with grace. I'm telling you what the word of God say. Your words have to be with grace. And since God is full of it, since he's full of it, we can operate in it. Thanks again, Evangelist Renee. And thank you, Pastor.
Hallelujah. You're welcome, Pastor. Amen.
Anyone else? If not, we're going to see you again.